Dr. Paul, welcome to Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. This is like a Thanksgiving special after Thanksgiving. You're going to get the full interview with Sheila Lewis Ely. This interview was so powerful, I had goosebumps and tears multiple times. It's an interview for the times. This is one that you cannot stop watching. I'm also, along with Dee Dee Hoover, interviewing a young man who's 13 years old who had vaccine injury, and he talks about what it was like to live with that. It also is powerful and had me in tears on a couple occasions. This is a really powerful show. Enjoy the show. By the way, if you're not a member of doctorsinscience.com, you need to go. Join this team. I do weekly Q&As live, yes, with yours truly, Dr. Paul. You can ask me anything you want, and I hope to see you live in person at the Q&A. Dr. Paul here from the heart. Today, my message is kids first. Kids first forever. I'm a pediatrician, and if we don't put our kids first right now with what's going on in the world, we are headed for trouble, folks. I share with you on this show, when I was traveling speaking in Iowa, we met the most incredible kids, just amazing kids. And we get to talk to this 13-year-old who just spills his heart about what it's like to live with vaccine injury. And it's powerful, folks. This is the sort of thing I've lived with for the past couple decades in my practice, relating one-on-one with kids. But with what's going on in our world, when I drive around Oregon, where I live and practice, I see kids all masked up, 6 feet apart, their faces for the most part blank. And you know, it is hard to really connect with a person when you can't read the whole face. And I seriously worry about what we're doing for our children. Because folks, you know, we've been presenting the information on this show, kids are not at risk of death or even serious illness from COVID-19, the illness. Now the vaccine, that's another whole story. We've been sharing that information with you. Really what this is about for us who are parents, those of us who interact with kids, is not instilling perhaps our own fear. You know, if you're watching television, which I've refused to do anymore because every single thing it seems that's being stated on the television is exactly opposite to what I know to be true from the actual science. So you'll hear we follow the science. Not so, folks. They're following little pieces of information that suits their messaging. So follow your parental gut instinct. Take those masks off of your children, especially at home, and especially outdoors. And there are situations where you just have to do it to get through the policies of the day, let's say, in the state that you're in. But I've traveled to so many states where mask mandates are not in place, and everybody's living free and having an amazing life. It's almost like it's normal. And then you're in other states where that's not the case. How could that be? It just doesn't compute, right? Common sense. Oh, one lady said she never wears a mask, and when she's asked about it, oh, I have CS. I can't wear a mask. It really is harmful to me. They don't ever ask her what CS is. Well, I asked her, well, what's CS? Common sense. I thought that was pretty funny. The truth of the matter is we have freedom at stake. There's something going on that doesn't make sense. Your kids are not in danger from COVID-19. They are in danger from masking, from the stress and anxiety that takes place when you can't get enough oxygen or normally release your carbon dioxide. They are in danger from the emotional anxiety, the disconnect you have from that human-to-human contact that's both available through our faces, but also through touch. Yesterday, I went into a 5-year-old's visit, and he was there for the fact that he's having massive behavior problems. He's sent to the principal's desk every day multiple times. He's hitting, he's kicking, he's screaming, he's throwing things, he's out of control. And both parents are there, and I sit with this young man and I notice what appears to be a completely wonderful young man. So I have a conversation with him, and he very articulately, he's in kindergarten, explains how he has a lot of anger and stress, and he purposely hits and kicks and screams. And so I said, well, you know, I can tell you're a very intelligent young man. How do you know that? He wanted to know. I said, I can tell you're a very loving young man. How do you know that? He wanted to know. I'm a naughty boy. I'm the naughtiest boy in the class. So he had assumed all these roles. He had not been touched in a long time. I said, can we hold hands? But, well, we have germs, he said. I said, it's okay. I washed my hands and we can wash our hands again when we're done. Pretty soon he's sitting on my knee and we're having a chat. The parents were dumbfounded. And it was just, and we're masked, by the way, because we're here in Oregon where that's a requirement. And this was a family that, you know, I just felt the need to abide by the rules, okay? So we're masked, but we connected, but it took physical contact. Parents, hold your children, love your children more than ever before, and do whatever you can, every chance you get, to get those masks off their faces, because they are being conditioned into a role that dehumanizes to a point where anxiety, tension, stress is coming out sideways. Doesn't need to be that way. Let's live in love, let's live without fear, and let's live the free lives we deserve to live. I'm Dr. Paul. Welcome to Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. This is our episode where, my goodness, I get to talk with one of my living heroes, Sheila Lewis Ely. We've met before in person, and I have to say, your story has touched me probably more than any other ever. And this is what I want listeners to realize. When parents share stories of vaccine injury, they're doing it for you as an opportunity for you just to learn from their experience so that perhaps it might guide you in just having clearer thinking about the decisions you may have to make. So welcome to the show, Sheila. I'm so glad you're here today.
Thank you, Dr. Thomas. I'm glad to be here. I remember when we met, it was 2016 in Washington, D.C. at dinner.
Yep. We sat together at dinner and I felt like I was sitting with a celebrity.
Oh, you humbled me.
because you are so articulate in telling the story of what happened to your son Temple. Maybe you could start there just for our listeners.
Sure.
to be updated on kind of how that sort of set you on the journey, I think, of where you are now.
It did. 20 years ago, actually on my birthday, my 12-month-old son was injured by vaccines. Now, he had been injured at 5 months, but I didn't really understand what was going on. He developed this really high fever and he was lethargic. I kept taking him back and forth to Andrews Air Force Base, this emergency room, because my husband was active duty Coast Guard at the time. And all they told me to do was give him Tylenol. I said, but could it be the vaccines? And he said, oh no, this is a natural reaction to his vaccines. So I brought him home, nursed him back to health. And because he had had such a bad reaction, I didn't take him or his twin sister back for vaccines. And matter of fact, I gave him his 5-month vaccine, but she didn't get hers because the doctor had an emergency. So we left. It wasn't because I wasn't going to get hers. Well Baby Clinic, which was on a naval base, called every 2 months to bring the babies in for a visit. And I just wouldn't do it. Reluctantly, I thought, could this have been a reaction from these vaccines? But everyone I asked 20 years ago said no. So 12 months, I take both of the babies in, and I've got another daughter. She's only 14 months older than the twins. So I put them all in the triple stroller. We walked the mile and a half to the clinic. I take him out first, and the shots were lined up, the hip, the DTaP, and the MMR for both babies, 3 for each. As he's getting his shots, his twin just started, she was wailing. She was crying so profusely. And then she tilted herself over. Now, 20 years ago, the type of stroller that I had these bars on the side. So even though she was strapped in, she managed to wiggle her way out and tilt her body over, so I didn't want her to hit her head. I picked her up to comfort her, and finally I got her quiet. And when I looked around, see what was going on with him, because he was screaming, I noticed one of the shots was missing. So I asked the physician assistant what happened to the other shot. And she said, what other shot? I said, you had three lined up for each one of these babies. Where's that shot? She said, oh my goodness, I think I gave it to him. I said, well, which one was it? And it was the MMR. He got a double dose of the MMR. So I told her to call a doctor in. The doctor comes in. She says, well, we can get another shot ready for your daughter. I said, oh, she's not getting shots today. I was furious. And I left. The minute we get back to our apartment, the doctor calls and said she called Merck. And she wrote it in the file, actually. And they said he won't need the booster at 4. But he should be okay. Well, I lost him that night. The next morning, I go into his room, this little happy baby who was always bouncing on his crib and shaking, reaching for me to pick him up. He was lethargic. He was looking, staring out into space. He could not even attach anymore. His body went limp. And I put him on the floor. He had learned to walk because their birthdays was July 12th. Sister walked a month earlier. He walked exactly a day after his birthday. So he had been walking. He couldn't walk anymore. And he couldn't even crawl forward. He was a good crawler. And I took him to see a developmental pediatrician at Bethesda. And he told me, he's just baby B. He's going to be slow. I said, no. He may have been slow with his language coming in, but he was making sounds. He was mimicking. His eye contact was good. There's something wrong with my baby. So I immediately told my husband, I've got to go back to New Orleans and see the doctor that I'm accustomed to seeing, who was a personal friend of mine. I need for her to help me with this. Now, nowhere in my thought pattern was the word autism, because I had never seen it. I never saw it growing up. I don't understand how they could even say better diagnosis, because I would have recognized that diagnosis. There was no one I went to school with who had it. No one I grew up with who had it. No child that I had seen previously that looked the way my son looked. So the first step was to take him to my friend who's a pediatrician. And she said, I believe this is autism. I said, what? What is that? She said, let me not even get into it right now. Let's get you a referral. Let's see a neurologist. I said, okay, fine. So I go in, my husband and myself, we bring the baby, and the attending nurse comes out and she says, he doesn't just give this diagnosis because it's rare. Fill out this form about what your child is doing. He's going to want to see your child, and then he's going to refer you out for therapies and then to come back. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's a good thing, because I looked up the word. So we go in to see him, and I went in first because my husband had to go change Temple's diaper. And he's telling me the same thing the nurse had told me, what to expect. And he was very, very stern. He couldn't even believe I was there. So he said, I don't understand why you were referred for this, because this is a really rare diagnosis. I said, well, I personally don't want to be here. But these behaviors that I'm seeing and what's happened to my son, there's something more going on. So when my husband came in, he had already told me, well, we're going to take about an hour at this appointment. We set aside that time to look at his motor skills, to look at how his reflection and the different things that he's doing. When my husband came in, he told my husband, put him on the floor. And he said, I don't even need 5 minutes with this child. This child obviously has classic Caner's autism. I said, what's that? He said, he was born with it. I said, no, he was not. He says, well, he's severely autistic. I said, are you telling me my son has a condition like that movie Rain Man? Because that's the first time I'd ever seen anyone with autism. And honestly, when I watched that movie, I thought it was a Hollywood lie. I thought it was something they had made up.
How long, Sheila, sorry to interrupt, how long after that those vaccines were given were you having that evaluation where they're telling you it's classic autism?
2 months.
In 2 months.
Within 2 months, because I traveled home and it took that long to get. First, I took him to the developmental pediatrician at Bethesda. And after that, nothing of a diagnosis.
Right.
He's just slow. He's baby B. I took him home.
Yeah. So, but you noticed the change was immediately that same night, that next day.
He wasn't
walking. How was eye contact at that point? Was that
it
also?
It was gone.
Everything was gone.
Everything was gone. My child was gone. And you know what's really tragic about that diagnosis? It's a ruse. It's a lie. It is a diagnosis given for brain injury, mitochondrial injury, because he started to make, once I got back to New Orleans and I stayed, and I arranged to have therapy and everything for him, because by 18 months, I'd seen 6 physicians, all specialists in their field. And by the last one, my husband told me, we're done. How many times you've got to hear that this child's going to need to be institutionalized and he's severely autistic? He says, that's a wrap on that. So I advocated for ABA therapy for my son through this clinic that I'd gone to, because I was furious when I left the neurologist. And I told him, I'm not leaving this office until you give me some satisfaction. So he gave me the personal number of a child psychologist who had just opened a clinic in New Orleans. And I called him immediately from my truck. And he answered the phone. He told me I'm out of town. He says, we're setting up an autism clinic because we're seeing more children like your son. He said, I'm going to call and get you in within 2 weeks. I said, no, I need to see you this week. That's not going to work for me. And I was so furious. And I'm not a crybaby. It takes a lot to make me cry. He said, okay, let me see what I can do. So I saw him within 2 days. And when I saw the pediatrician that he used, the first question he asked me, how did you get this diagnosis? This isn't a condition for Black children. I said, what? He bleeds red like everyone else. He says, we don't see Black children with this condition. This is 20 years ago. And in my advocacy work, that's when I started advocating and telling the truth, because what I realized at that moment, what happened to me happened out of ignorance, because I trusted a system that did not protect my son and didn't care that he was different and that all of our bodies were not the same. So I started singing like a canary. I mean, I was talking to everybody. I went to every doctor I knew. I started going to conferences. I wanted to learn more and more and more about this condition. And what I discovered was I was right on the cusp of the avalanche of these children.
Yes.
I was there when Dan was started. I was there when all of the doctors got together and were trying to figure out exactly what was going on. But what I didn't know at that time, he had more. Those vaccines actually damaged his mitochondrial cells, and that's why he was so floppy. So we had just a mound of tragedies during that time. I mean, we got washed out for Katrina. We were displaced and called refugees in Texas. For nearly 2 years, we were homeless. And then we came back to New Orleans, and it was just a nightmare. I mean, I was sleeping on the floor with rats because I couldn't get a FEMA trail. So by the time we got everything back established again, he started morphing. And I started noticing there's something else wrong with him. So I had become personally involved with a lot of the damn doctors. I was taking them everywhere. And a prominent one told me one day, she said, Sheila, I've taken him as far as I can take him. He's a hard nut to crack. There's something else wrong with him, but I don't know exactly what. So I go back home. I get involved with the Autism Society of Greater New Orleans. And the president of the society calls me one day. She said, Sheila, there's a geneticist in town, and he wants a seminar. I said, for what? We've all been through genetics, because back then they were only doing a few rats and a few others. I said, okay, well, I'll talk to him. So he called me, I talked to him, and I said, listen, we've all been through genetics. What good is that going to do us? We're not interested. He says, well, I want to tell you something. We now know that there are 77 genetic conditions that are primary and autism is secondary. And when he told me that, I said, okay, let me give you a seminar. So I gave him a seminar. We had about 150 parents who showed up to the seminar. He comes in and I'm listening. And he shows this child with mitochondrial disease. And he goes through the whole slide presentation. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. After that, I said, listen, here's a picture of my son. I believe he has that condition. He told me, he said, yeah, I can see something different in him. He says, he'll be my first patient. So Temple was his first patient. And back then, we had to do the whole genome sequence, which was about 30 grand. You know, we didn't have these small 23andMe's and just a simple blood test to see if you had a condition like mitochondrial disease. So Temple had to go in as an outpatient to do a muscle biopsy along with the blood work. All of that went off to Baylor and then it went to the UK to the Genome Institute. Took 8 months for it to come back. And imagine my surprise when he told me he had primary mitochondrial disease complex 1. I said, what is that? And when he explained it to me, I asked him, I said, so I want you to look at me and tell me that that double dose of the MMR with those other vaccines didn't do this. He said, I cannot. Yes, this is a child that never should have been vaccinated.
That's the important message, right? There are so many people walking around having children who should not be vaccinated, and we're not doing anything about it to personalize right. medicine. We're just using this one size fits all approach with now, of course, mandates. It's eliminating informed consent. And I know you've been a big advocate for informed consent.
Yes.
Because had you known, obviously.
I never would have done it. There's right. several reasons why I wouldn't have done it. I would not have done it if I understood the ingredients that were in vaccines. I would have gone and discussed that decision with my elders, because I had a grandmother, and by that time she was dead, she was deceased, who told me, never trust a white coat. She said, because they experiment on you. And she said, don't marry a military man. They experiment on him, and they're going to want to experiment on you. Why, she was right. But I had parents who came out of third world America. They grew up on cotton plantations as sharecroppers in homes that didn't have running water or a bathroom. And they had been in those cotton fields and walking to school because they didn't have a school bus to take them to school. Or like my father, school ended at sixth grade. So at 13, he left home and was on his own.
Wow.
These are the parents I grew up with, and they were very proud people. They worked hard and achieved what they achieved. And they told my brother and myself, I have one sibling, there's nothing you can't achieve, and you don't allow the color of your skin to stop you. However, they assimilated after the civil rights movement. And by assimilation, I mean, they wanted to be able to go and see doctors, because back then we didn't see doctors. They did home remedies and remedies that had been passed down from generation to generation that went all the way back to slavery. They worked. But they wanted to become a part of this American society that they thought was so much better. And as a result, we no longer were taught all of the stories that we had heard, the oral history of our people and our plight. I knew them, but as a child, you forget these things. Not that you want to forget them, but you move on with life, you assimilate into the world, and you feel like you've arrived and the world is your oyster.
Yes. I think you have a movie you want to tell the world about that might sort of dovetail nicely with what you were just talking about. Maybe you can share that.
Yes. So Children's Health Defense Fund with Robert Kennedy Jr. We've done a film called Medical Racism, The New Apartheid. And this film chronicles the history of Black Indigenous people in this country and what they have experienced with the medical industry all the way back to slavery. The reason why this film is so important is because it not only tells you the past history, but it tells you the current history, because the ones who decided what would be in the history books and how the medical industry would operate left these types of stories out. As a society, whether you're Black, brown, or white, we don't know these things. So now we're all a part of an apartheid, medical apartheid association that does not care about the individuality of our genetic code, nor does it care about informed consent. They don't feel like they have to give it, and they're not giving it. They have not given it. You go in to bring your child to a well baby visit, and you think that you're doing the right thing because you've been told, we need these vaccines. They need these vaccines for school. All of these childhood infections are so dangerous, but yet you don't know the history of how we got here, that we've never needed those vaccines for these conditions, and that there are children who can't take these vaccines because of underlying genetic conditions. You're the pawn that they're using to stomp out your child's life, your child's health, and the future of your heritage, because that's what children are. They're our heritage. They're the most important gifts that we bring into this world. It doesn't matter if you have money and you don't have money. What does that matter? What matters is if you can bring a healthy child into this world and you can raise that child to be a healthy individual, because with health, that's your wealth. You can achieve almost anything as long as your brain's intact and your body's intact.
Yes.
But without that, it breaks the bank. It breaks your spirit. It crumbles the family dynamic.
Absolutely.
Over and over.
Yeah. Where can people find this movie?
If they go to childrenshealthdefense.org, the movie is the first thing that pops up, and it's free.
Wonderful.
Download it, have your friends watch it, send it out to other groups, because this movie is important. It's important, especially now when we're dealing with COVID-19, an experimental reprogramming of your DNA, because I can't even call it a vaccine. It's important that people understand that your compliance is an agreement to what's going on in our country this day and what's going on around the world today. You have to be informed. If you don't have sovereignty over your body, you're enslaved. That's all you have when you come into this world, the sovereignty of your body. We're forced to pay taxes. We're forced to watch our tax dollars being used for things we don't agree with. We're forced to comply by laws that are egregious to who we are as individuals, especially those of us who are spiritual and religious. And yet we've complied to all of that. But if you comply to lockdowns, to masks, and to injections of an experimental substance that killed all of the animals it was tested on and is killing so many people worldwide, then you have agreed to your own enslavement and your demise. And people need to understand that.
Absolutely. That is so well articulated. I believe you've had within your family actual tragedy with COVID vaccine?
Yeah. I've had family members who have taken the vaccine and two have passed away.
Wow. How soon after the vaccines did they pass away?
One within 3 weeks and the other one within two.
My goodness. And of course, you know, you have this mitochondrial family history, I would say.
Yes.
Which I'm sure puts your family members at greater risk for vaccine injury, I imagine.
Well, the thing about genetics, it loads the gun, but vaccines pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I have so many genetic abnormalities myself that I passed on to my son. I had no idea about. I have two rare SNP panels, two of the most dangerous. So a mother always passes it on to the son and every other daughter. My middle daughter has it and Temple has it. Now, this is only by the grace of God that Temple lives, because when he was born, the vitamin K wasn't mandatory. Had he had the vitamin K, he would have been a SIDS baby. And yet, everything that mothers, millions of mothers around the world have said or researched is being debunked. When in the history can we ever look back and say mothers were so devalued in looking to see what was going on with their child? Yet before this avalanche of autism, the vaccine injury called autism, you would take your child into anywhere, an emergency room, a pediatrician's office, a specialist, and the first thing they wanted to know, what's your observation of your child, except for this?
Right. Somehow we've just sort of canceled the mother's intuition. We've neglected the fact that parents know their children best.
Yes.
And we've removed your ability in most cases, unless you're really a strong fighter like you certainly are today. Most parents walk into the doctor's office and they give up their autonomy, they give up their power, they give up their freedom, as you put it. And it's tragic because our kids are suffering because of this. I'm thinking about the COVID vaccine situation, and we just had on our last show the story that's coming out of Israel of these vaccine passports that are already being required to travel, to enter places of business, and it's already coming to the United States. That reminds me, I grew up in Southern Africa, Rhodesia, before it was Zimbabwe. I went to high school in Swaziland, traveling through South Africa, where apartheid was just, you know, that was the law of the land. And if you were African in South Africa at that time, you could not move from one area to another without your papers. Think of this passport for this vaccine, no different than apartheid was.
That's right.
We abolished apartheid finally through, you know, so much tragedy and hardship. And now we're just sort of rolling over and allowing that sort of system to become the rule of our land. It's
exactly.
Insanity. What can we do, Sheila?
What we have to do, we have to stop preaching to the choir. There's a small group of us, and we don't need to preach to the choir anymore. We don't need another gathering of the same people coming in. What we need to do is ask the choir to stand up and to start organizing as they did during the civil rights movement. I've always called this a civil rights issue. I've called this a human rights issue, and I've called this the worst form of discrimination. If those passports are allowed to pass and be allocated from state to state to state, then you can forget about it. You've lost your freedom. There is no more freedom. And we're all under subjugation and lockdown. So before it gets to that, we need to have the choir, those of us who understand what's going on, to gather in every city, whether it's five of us, four of us, 10 of us, 100 of us or 1,000 of us, and go from business to business without masks. If we can't shop there, have your pamphlet to pass out to those who are in the stores, letting them know how dangerous these masks are and what's actually happening. You're about to embark upon medical apartheid and enslavement within your country. We are to ask these businesses, those who will not participate, why won't they participate? Give them the information, get it in writing, what they say, because we're already being censored, and put that story out everywhere. Shop at the businesses that will have us. Stop going to these large chains and go to farmers who need the income. Buy locally your foods without a mask, without social distancing. Pull your children out of those schools. You cannot afford not to. I don't want to hear anymore, well, I have to work. Did you work this last year? How did that work out for you? Because they showed you what they can take away from you. Schools are not free, and they're not appropriate public schools. That is the biggest lie that's ever been told, and I've said it over and over. We pay property taxes, city taxes, state taxes, and federal taxes. All of those dollars are poured back into those schools. So you tell me who owns those schools. We, the American people. But we bought a bunch of lies and deceptions and myths. And now it's time for the truth to rise and people understand what this truth is. That is how we make a change. Any church that's taking money to celebrate vaccines and tell you that God says it's okay for you to take those vaccines, call them out as the heretics that they are and start having church outside. Jesus didn't think enough of a church, a synagogue, to build one after he walked out of the temple. His ministry was foot on his feet, city by city. And that's how we make a change. Otherwise, this country's going to go down. And it won't go down because of those of us who have been out here telling this story. It's going to go down for those who have complied. And you will have no one to blame but yourselves.
I've got goosebumps, and I'm going to leave it at that. I was going to ask you, you know, what's the message you want to give the world? You just did it. Thank you. Thank you, Sheila, for sharing from your heart. You are a true leader in this movement to help set people free and to save our country and to save the world. I hope the world is listening, and I hope we mobilize behind this effort. Do you have any particular resources where you would say people should go here to get their information? Because, you know, the information that's out there on the mainstream channels is just close to worthless.
It is. Children's Health Defense has a news article that they put out daily called The Defender. Everything that's happening worldwide, they're already talking about it. Please subscribe. It's free. You can donate if you want to, but you don't have to. Subscribe to The Defender. Read those articles. Learn how you can get involved, because this is what it's going to take. This is a grassroots effort. This country was fought and won on grassroots efforts, and nothing is going to come easy for us. So stop looking for the easy way out. There is no such thing as I'm just going to sit back and wait and see what happens. We all have a part to play, and we all have to get involved. It is your life, but it's not just your life. It is the lives of the next 7 generations. And you have to ask yourself, your children, your children's children, and thereon, how do you want them to be able to live in this world? There are shackles with no bonds. I'm not binded up here in a shackle, but yet we've been under house arrest, all of us, for over a year now. So you tell me if that's not a form of enslavement.
Folks, Children's Health Defense is absolutely the most amazing resource I've been able to find. And you can ask any question on their website, search, and you will find the answers. If it has anything to do with vaccines, if it has anything to do with medical freedom, informed consent, or what's actually going on in the world today that is important, that is vital, I hope you will visit and sign up for that newsletter, read it, get your research there, because they are beholden to no one. They are not in anybody's pocket. They are simply telling the truth and sharing the information that you're not getting through all the mainstream channels. The censorship that's going on in most of the mainstream outlets is so massive that the truth cannot even come through. So check this out and join us. Thank you, Sheila. I think we're just going to put this up as is. There's no edit needed. This is amazing. Maybe it's just its own show. You are so articulate. Thank you for gracing us with your wisdom and your knowledge and your passion.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Thomas. I appreciate it. And it's so good to see you again.
Oh, it's delightful to see you. I, given everything you've gone through, I can't imagine how you just are a radiance of light and hope and truth. You bless us all. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Hey everyone, you probably really know me by now. I'm Dee Dee. Got another crazy, great, awesome interview coming up here. What's your name?
My name is Rogan Smith.
Hi, Rogan. And I've been hanging out with Rogan this weekend, and he's pretty cool. So, Rogan, I got some questions for you. And then again, at any point, if there's anything you don't want to answer, let me know. So, when we met your mom, she's the one that brought us out to this conference to speak, and she told us that you were vaccine injured as a younger child. I would love to hear your side, your story, what you remember.
Okay. So, I remember getting the shot. I think there's like two memories mixing, but I think it was in like this mall area. We went up the stairs, crossed on this like balcony hallway, and went into this room. I got the shots in my knees. I hated it. I was like freaking out.
It probably hurt.
Yeah, it was. I didn't like it at all. I just hated shots. I know. After that, I got like super mad, like not like the next day or anything, but like I would have rages, and I remember my parents would do everything. They would like hug me, they would tell me stories, they would punish me. They didn't know what to do to help me.
So in talking to mom, I think you were younger because she said now you're doing better, it's not the same issues. Do you feel like you still have anything kind of left over, anything going on in your body that you still think is related to the shots?
I mean, I do think I get more angry than I should, especially now that I'm a teenager, but it's not nearly to the extent as what was. So yeah, I'm getting better.
Okay. So do you think that your experience in feeling this, which, I mean, it happens, and it's sad that it happens, and there is a lot of help, and you're pretty blessed. You've got a mom that's really trying hard, and you certainly now have me and Dr. Paul Thomas to help.
Yep.
And that's the thing, is moving forward, I'm guessing that you would never want to have another vaccine in your life?
No, not really. Okay. If I ever have kids or something, I'm never going to vaccinate them.
Yeah, and again, I think sometimes we always say that sometimes for people to understand the truth is not until they experience it, which is hard. So it's sad anytime we hear these stories, y'all, and even having to sit and or being able to sit and talk to a kid who's going through something like this can be very powerful, but knowing that there's help out there is just as important. And you being part of this movement too with the COVID shot and it being available to kids, and you're at an age you could make the decision to get it on your own if you wanted to, which of course in my opinion as an adult is not okay. But it makes me feel good that even if someone asks you, you'd be telling them no. But being a part of this movement and having parents and family and all these people around you, what does that feel like for you going through what you've gone through, being here in this whole process?
It just feels like I'm not the only one, I guess. Like there's people out there that want to help so this doesn't happen anymore.
We're told that it's safe and it's effective, and that's why the doctors give you to prevent things. Your mom vaccinated you kids because she was told that she should. It wasn't until she had that experience with you that she realized that was an injury and that was something that she can't ever let happen again. And that's the hard part. So now the opportunity is to share it with the information with all those people so they can make their own choice. It's called informed consent, and it's there for a reason.
It always makes me sad when people say, well, you know, just like with my vaccine injury. Well, take that story. I hid it for a long time. I didn't talk about it. I didn't know how. And when my son had his vaccine injury, we didn't talk about it. You being able to talk about it and want to help somebody else, that's powerful, because the greatest thing that's going to do for you is to help you heal. To know that you, those feelings and things, you can work through those, all those things. So I want you to know that you can call me anytime and I will coach you anytime at no charge and be there for you, because we have to have support and love, and you're going to be there for so many kids as you get older, because you've gone through something that nobody should have to go through. And you are part of this amazing fight. and it just makes me feel so full of love. So these are tears of joy right now. To know that there's kids like you that are out there, that what you went through, you're now going to choose to make a difference with that. So at those moments where you still feel like you want to go in a room and nobody gets you and nobody understands you, you've got people who do, and I am here for you.
It's not like I see it as, if I go through this, everybody else should. I see it logically, I guess, because I don't think if somebody, it's basically when somebody, 100 years ago, how they had like old cars and stuff and still wagons and lights, like stuff like that. That formed into easier stuff for us, like these
technology.
Lights. Yeah. This eagle painting, this couch, they didn't have that. So I see it as I'm in this generation and I can make it easier for these people in the future. For like, I'm not gonna, I'm going to improve.
Right. Right, and that's the thing is, that's, we don't know whenever, and that's the thing, we are always, I think all the time our thought is, I had to go through this, I don't want anyone else to go through it, I don't want anyone to suffer. Like you said, we've been given all these things to do better, so let's take these things that we've been given and let's please do better. Listen to this kid and what he's gone through, please do better. Thanks so much, I love you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you feel happy?
Yes. It's good to know that people do care.
Cool. Thank you, kiddo.
So, I'm here with Rogan, and it has been a real pleasure to get to know you. You are so brave. I just watched your interview with Dee Dee, and her whole focus is putting kids first. What I was just feeling in my heart as I was watching this is you're sitting here talking about something that would want to make me cry, because you were given vaccines as a little kid. Your mom did what she thought was best and did the same thing for my kids. And sometimes it doesn't work out well, right? There's side effects. And you've had to experience those. It puts you, I heard you explain it, putting you into these rages and just sort of feeling probably anxious. But you were willing to talk about that. So I just want you to know you're one of my heroes. It's, in life, I feel like we're given challenges sometimes where challenges just appear, and it's in the overcoming of those challenges that makes us great. And so I just want you to know that you've got great things ahead for you, and we're here with you.
Thank you. So when my parents, like, they were, they didn't know what to do, I looked at that and I was like, I thought they knew everything. They knew exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, all that stuff. And so when they didn't know what to do and they were just going on doing random things, I felt that nobody knew what was happening to me. I felt like they didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. And alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard that a lot, and I totally get it, because it's not something people talk about, which is why I'm just so grateful to you that you have the bravery to talk about that and just what you just shared. It's a very strange thing to have your brain and your body feeling not right, right? I mean, you probably can't even explain it.
Yeah, it's like this other form comes out.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so weird.
Right. And people who don't experience that, how do they relate to what you're feeling and going through? And then you're seeing your siblings, which, by the way, you have two younger siblings.
Mm-hmm. And they, I know Berkeley got vaccinated, I think, but I know Hank didn't.
Right. Like, she got just a few. And talking to your mom, what happened was when she saw things happening for you that she was pretty sure
she was like connecting the dots
and going, okay, no more for your siblings. So that's why you're also a hero to the family, because you took one for the team. You did.
I mean, if that's how you want to describe,
you're like a hero. So you know, soldiers go off to war, right? Mm-hmm. And we lose some, and some come back injured. and we call them heroes, mm-hmm. right? Well, in this, I don't like the war analogy when it comes to vaccines and all that, because it's all misguided. Mm-hmm. But if there's ever a hero in the what they call this war, it's the people who take one for the team. Mm-hmm. And you did that. The good news is, though, and that's why I had to come talk to you before we left, is the body has an incredible way of healing. Mm-hmm. Okay, it absolutely does. And I'm talking body, brain, and then there's your mind, spirit, and soul. You will heal, and you will continue to have those that angst that comes over you. In time, it'll get less and less, and you'll have more and more control over it. And you'll get to a point where you can now help others, right? Because you're absolutely not alone. There are millions of children who are suffering to some degree or another with similar things.
They're going through the same thing that I went through, which is they don't know what to do. Their parents don't know what to do. They feel alone. I know it's different for every single child, but it's like similar down to the basics. It's almost the exact same.
Yeah. So it may well be that you'll be helping us with our Kids First Forever program to be connecting with other kids so they don't feel alone. We have to figure out ways to connect everybody that's going through similar things, because it's in that unity and with more people, togetherness, right? We don't feel alone, and we can move forward in a much more positive way. So we might be calling on you.
I mean, I'm happy to help.
Thank you. Thanks, man. You're the best. Dr. Paul here. Doctorsandscience.com is where you go to get access to my exclusive members-only section. This is how you, the viewers, support our work. We have no sponsors. We are fully supported by you, our viewers. What do you get in the members section? It's quite a list. You get access to a couple of my ebooks. The first one is the authoritative reference list for my Vaccine Friendly Plan book. I also have written a book, very extensive, called Everyday Health, that covers pretty much what I think you should be doing if you want to live a healthy life in this world today. But there's so much more. We have a live Q&A every week after the show with yours truly, Dr. Paul, answering your questions. Submit your questions online and I will tackle as many of them as I possibly can and try to answer to the best of my ability whatever burning questions you have. In addition to this, you get transcripts of every show. We have other bonus content. And I think one of the huge bonus content pieces is the PowerPoints of the talks I'm giving as I travel around the country. People are always asking me, how can we get those PowerPoints? This is how you do it. Head on over to doctorsandscience.com and become a member and join the team of Against the Wind. Help me spread the truth and share this on social media and with your friends at doctorsandscience.com. I look forward to running with you against the wind. Go to our website, doctorsandscience.com. Sign up, donate if you can, and let's make this the weekly show the nation's been waiting for. I'm Dr. Paul.